will throw in. Look out. Very close to a five count. Oh, it's stolen by Green. Mills. Ginobili kicks it back. Three-point attempt is short. Scrambled for the ball. A tie runs out. And the Thunder escape with the victory.
That was an offensive foul on Ginobili. That was an offensive foul by OKC on San Antonio. Ginobili, the coaches, the team, everyone is upset. That was an offensive foul, a blatant offensive foul. It was an offensive foul, and if I'm Ginobili, if I'm the Spurs, I am upset too. It was there for everyone to view it, wide open. That was an offensive foul.
What a final 13 seconds. And Chris Webber right there. There was so much confusion after the play as to what should have been called, what wasn't called, and what the results should have been had it been called. And Chris got it right live.
Absolutely. That's a player that probably is kind of still maybe a little bit in player mode. Like when he's out there, his juices kind of still get going.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And I love that they moved him with Marv, because I think that officially makes them the top TNT team. Or maybe is that the top TNT? Yeah, that would make them the A team. So. Marv Albert, and instead of Marv and Reggie, it's Marv and Chris. Because I think Chris is great, and in plays like that, in moments like that, he absolutely shines. Where he speaks with so much passion, because he sounded angry.
And in every situation, it's definitely a team effort. And Marv is such a consummate pro; he gets out of the way for that.
Mm-hmm.
He allows room for Chris to be able to do that, and that's what makes him such an amazing pro.
We got your 10K a day code word coming up in just a few minutes. Your opportunity to win $1,000 and enter into the grand prize of $25,000. There's so much to dig into and dissect regarding those last 13 seconds. It was a game, really, where Oklahoma City came out and they did what they had to do. They had to get ahead. They had to play ahead. And they were able to do that all the way until the last few minutes of the third quarter. And you started to watch that lead get lower and lower. Their decisions got worse and worse and worse, and suddenly you're entering the fourth quarter and they have a 1-point lead.
And isn't that frightening for them?
Yeah.
I mean, because it was almost as if San Antonio was like a setup. It's like, yeah, go ahead. What you going to do in the first quarter? Oh, that's what you have?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here we come. Here we come. And then they proceeded to outscore them pretty much in every single quarter. The Spurs outscored them in the second quarter, the third quarter, and then they tied 21 points apiece in the fourth quarter. That's what the Spurs do.
Yeah, Pop's postgame can be painful, but with his core of what he said, he didn't like the way they played, thought they had to play smarter. He said, I thought we lost the game three times, and we kind of stayed with it, and they had a chance. So I would say they played maybe a C-minus game and almost won. Yeah. So if you're the Thunder, you're happy. You stole home court, but I don't know. I don't like their chances in the series.
I mean, obviously, the Thunder, they need their jump shooters, Mr. 11 for 25, Russell Westbrook.
Okay.
Who in the final 8.5 minutes of the game had 4 points, made one bucket, 2 free throws.
Your Westbrook hate is exuding right now.
Yeah, he's your point guard who should be much better when the crunch time. He should be much, much better. But yeah, I don't think that they have enough intestinal fortitude.
And they
need those guys to shoot well, and I don't think Steven Adams will get the dunks that he got last night again.
What I'm getting from the two of you is, let's go to this. You're the same guy who said there is no way LaMarcus Aldridge will shoot like he did in game one again.
No, I posed the question. I said if you're Oklahoma City, you have to think that he cannot possibly do that again, let alone four
Are you
games.
Sure? Are we positive that's what you said?
I'm pretty sure that's what I said. Do you have it?
Well, I think we're going to find it. Your mission is to find that, young Matthew.
Okay.
But the point is, he managed to do nearly the exact same thing again.
Yeah.
How was Oklahoma City? And it's 1-1. That's the bottom line.
Yeah.
Right? The series is 1-1. How was Oklahoma City not able to make one single adjustment to LaMarcus Aldridge? He was 15 for 21 yesterday and 41 points instead of, what did he have the night before, 38?
38. He was 18 of 23. So he shot two times less, so they figured that out.
And how is he so freaking efficient?
Yeah.
I don't know.
He made some tough shots, but yeah, there was a time where Ibaka was considered a really good defender in this league. I don't think he's garbage, but he's just torching him.
But did you hear his comment? So Ibaka actually commented on that. It was run during the game. where they talked about how he used to be a shot blocker. And he says, yeah, mm-hmm. I'm sorry, in his accent, I can't do it. But he's like, yeah, I used to be the shot blocker because that was my job. He's like, then they decided to open everything up and they wanted me to shoot more. Mm-hmm. And then they brought in Steven Adams. He's like, that's his job now. It's his job now to be the shot blocker and my job to do other things on the team. Mm-hmm. So his role has changed now where he's not really required to do that like he used to before. Because Steven Adams takes up a lot of room and he wants to mix it up down.
Yeah.
But for some reason, he just can't seem to stay in front of Aldridge.
Right.
He can get a body on him, but then Aldridge goes with that left hand. That left hand was magical yesterday because he's got the issue with his right hand.
Yeah.
And that left hand was just golden.
Westbrook had 10 assists last night.
Yes, he did.
The Oklahoma City Thunder as a team had 16.
Yeah.
There was a stat that in game one, Oklahoma City lost by 33. There were 20 possessions where not one single pass was made. 20 possessions, not one pass. So you come out, you win, and you only get 16 assists?
Yeah, there was that late sequence where Waiters hit a three, maybe under 3 minutes to go. It was a big, maybe stretch the lead from 4-7 or 3-6, something like that. And I think Chris even mentioned, he's like, wow, that was a good sequence. They passed the ball four times.
Mm-hmm.
Fours. I mean, it wasn't like an abnormally. It was just kind of like left, back to the top, back one more. It didn't look like a bunch of extra passing, but like, well, maybe for OKC, that's a lot.
Yeah, and there was a sequence late in the game where I feel like the guys, the TNT guys mentioned it after the game, where there was a chance for Kevin Durant to take the shot, and he trusted his teammate, made the extra pass, and pushed that ball over to the corner.
Yeah.
He didn't make the shot, but even Chris Webber noticed, like, hey, they're trusting their teammates, which is something they did not do in that first game you were talking about where they had 20 possessions where there was no pass because they don't trust their teammates. And Chris Webber even said it like a ball player. He's like, look, if I'm Kevin Durant, I've made my career off getting buckets. So unless you're going to start getting buckets, I'm not giving you the ball.
Yeah.
Because I get buckets. And if you can't, then you're going to be X'd out of the equation. And that's gonna, the hard thing that they're having. That's one thing they're having a hard time doing, trusting their teammates, getting everyone else in the flow, because in that last couple of minutes, you know where the ball's going. And it's easy to defend, especially for the Spurs.
I don't think that was Oklahoma City's best effort. We know it wasn't San Antonio's.
No.
That was very clear. That very well may be the worst game San Antonio plays all series. And I know Oklahoma City stole it. They got one. They got one in San Antonio, which happened, what, one time all year?
Yeah.
Oh, so it's a pretty big deal to win in San Antonio, by the way. But with Durant having five turnovers, and they still seem so shaky on both ends of the floor. I'm not as all in that was the best offer that they have.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's kind of been made out as maybe that was their best effort against San Antonio's worst effort. And I'm not ready to concede that that was their best effort. It was just significantly better than what we saw Saturday afternoon.
Exactly, exactly.
And a lot of that has to do with because Saturday afternoon was so freaking bad.
Right.
Where they lost by 33.
So here's my question, though. Here's my quick question. What does Oklahoma City's best effort look like? 35 points from Durant and Westbrook?
Yep.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, pretty much nailed it right there.
Okay.
You pretty much nailed it right there. And what was the remarks about LaMarcus Aldridge a couple days ago?
And I would like to think that the Oklahoma City Thunder are not going to panic. You'd like to think that they're okay, because if they're looking at the stats, they're thinking one thing. There is no way that Aldridge can come back and shoot like he shot again. 18 for 23.
Mm-hmm.
Impossible.
Mm-hmm.
It is impossible for Danny Green to come back and shoot as well as he did.
Impossible.
Now, Kawhi Leonard probably could.
Kawhi Leonard definitely.
Because he probably could shoot that well again, because he gets a lot of buckets. He drives to the hole, does a lot of things. The shots that Aldridge was hitting, turnaround jumpers, fadeaway jumpers, he can't do that four games in a row. Can he?
You posed a little question there at the end.
So, two contexts.
I like
the
it.
Context where I said
I like
Oklahoma
it.
City has to think that he can't do that.
Well, what do you do now? Because he's done it twice.
Right. You've got to do something different.
Here's where coaching comes into play, right?
Right. And I was just about to say, is this where Monte Williams not being there is killing them? Does Billy Donovan know how to make this type of adjustment?
Was Monte their defensive specialist? Did he handle the defensive sets?
I think he was their NBA guy. I think he was the guy who was able to, who could take these types of situations and break them down in an NBA way that Billy Donovan hasn't done yet.
I think it also feels like it might be a personnel thing. I just don't know if they got it. If they've got enough of
there
the guys.
There has to be something they can do.
Yeah.
I mean, is he really going to average 40 through this series?
Well, in one sense, you could then argue, well, he got 41 and they won. It's 1-1. They went to OKC, wow, the San Antonio, and got a win. Go score. I wouldn't suggest it, but right, go score 40 every night. If we beat you 4-2.
They're playing with fire on that one.
I totally agree. But I don't know if that they have the answer.
The list of the Sacramento Kings head coaching candidates continue to grow. We got that for you next on the Lowdown. Athletes do a lot of really stupid things. We're going to touch on a couple of those here in just a little bit. We got your 10K a day code word coming up in about 90 seconds, 20 past the hour. Your chance to win $1,000. Names are getting added to the Sacramento Kings coaching search at a rapid pace. I got some friends on Twitter over here who, well, they want Bobby the Brain Heenan to interview.
Ooh.
I don't know who that is.
Are you kidding me right now?
Is that a wrestler?
Yeah.
It's the greatest professional wrestling manager in history.
Bobby the Brain Heenan.
Hey, coach.
You know what I'm hearing right now?
He could probably coach like some of these names on this list. Yep.
Wah-wah, 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 wah-wah.
Teacher on peanuts?
Wah-wah, wah-wah, wah-wah. That's what I'm hearing right now.
That's
when you start talking to me about wrestling. That's what I hear.
Foreign language? I didn't even throw like Jimmy the Mouth of the South Hart or Mr. Fuji.
Oh, no. Jimmy Hart's awesome.
Paul Heyman's on line one.
But he's an advocate more. He'd be more the general manager variety.
I met Jimmy Hart 2 years ago. He came on Good Day. That dude was awesome.
Jimmy is awesome. He is a bundle of freaking energy.
He was in a great band a long time ago that actually charted. I was like, oh my God.
He was in Hart?
Deltones? Something like that. Yeah, he was.
Yeah, he was. Dude's awesome.
Paul Bear's on line two.
Who's that?
Paul Bear.
Paul Bear has passed away.
So?
Okay, well, he's in line for the job as well. Okay.
His entire thing was a resurrected guy, so he can come back all pasty white and coach the Kings.
Oh, that's very true.
Okay.
That's very true. Henry Bibby, I think, is the name that's thrown a lot of people off guard. The Sacramento Bee has reported that his name has been added to the list. He's an assistant in Memphis.
So where he is now?
Coached the Los Angeles Sparks.
Mm-hmm.
And USC men.
Yeah.
That basketball team there.
How'd that work out? He didn't even do well with the Sparks. The Sparks had a good team when he was there. I don't even remember him doing well with them.
I thought he did okay with USC. He did all right. I know.
This is just a weird one. We could run through this list. It's a long one. McHale, Mark Jackson, Vinny Del Negro, Mike Woodson, David Blatt, Patrick Ewing, Elston Turner, Corliss Williamson, Jeff Hornacek, Sam Mitchell, Brian Shaw, Nate McMillan, Ettore Messina. Those all, okay. And then Henry Bibby, it's like, wait, what? Is this real?
And is it wrong that of that entire thorough list, my favorite candidate's not even on there?
Who is your favorite?
Right now, if I had to pick, I think it would be Vogel.
If he became
an option,
I agree.
I think that would be my leader in the clubhouse right at this minute.
I absolutely agree. If
you guys have a Vlade leader,
is doing his due diligence. That's the guy who needs to be here. But his situation with Indiana, Larry Bird made his situation there confusing. I'm starting to wonder if the league year actually isn't over till July. I thought the year was over when their season ended, and thus he's a free agent. He can take
Kings
his interviews and go
long.
Coach where he wants to. But he made it seem like, Larry Bird in his comments made it seem like, they have a decision to make.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if he's not technically a free agent until July 1st or 2nd or whatever the day the league year begins. Because he acknowledged there are other jobs out there and we want to give him the opportunity to interview for
them. And I don't know that it's exactly the same because we're not living in Indiana feeling the vibe of the team every day, but it is reminding me a little bit of Rick Adelman. 6 years there, made the playoffs 6 years. Yeah, they never won it, but sometimes they didn't have the best team. They've been successful, and Larry Bird's looking for more. Like, well, maybe we need more offense. Maybe we need a little more. Like, the Maloofs at the time are looking more from a different character from the coach than Adelman. Well, he was winning.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest mistake I think franchises make is they go, you go, like you have this player's coach and it doesn't work out. So you go in the complete opposite direction and get the hardline coach.
Right.
Which rarely ever works out.
Yeah.
You got to find the guy who has the balance. And Ken, I think you pointed this out one time when we were discussing this about the former New York Giants coach, Tom Coughlin.
Yes, Tom Coughlin.
How he used to be the hard line coach, and then he started getting more veterans, and was it Strahan?
It was Strahan that came to him. He lost the locker room. because he's the guy that if you're, what is it, you're 5 minutes early, you're on time. Mm-hmm. You're on time, you're 5 minutes late.
Right.
It's that whole thing. And the players just couldn't understand that. And I distinctly remember hearing a complaint when I was doing Best Damn Sports Show, period, and one of the players had come to be a guest. And he remarked about how they had just lost. He was still coaching in Jacksonville, I do believe. And they had just lost to the Raiders in Oakland. Then they had to fly all the way back to Florida. The players get on the plane. Coughlin comes on the plane and says, turn off your Walkmans and your DVD players. I want you to think about what just happened all the way back home. Players don't like that. Yeah. That's the kind of thing that he did. So then we got to the Giants, did the same thing. Locker room's like, we are not paying attention to this guy. Strahan came in as a captain and said, hey, it's not working. Let the captains do all the work. We'll take your message to the players in the locker room. We'll get that thing done. Just you need to back out of the equation.
Yeah.
He agreed to that. They had a horrible start. They turned it around and won the Super Bowl that year.
Vogel seems to have Frank Vogel. I'm looking at Tex Nation here. There's a question, and I pose it to you. It says, why Vogel? Why would he be your leader in the
leader
clubhouse?
Of all that? Well, I guess I'm going off. He's currently coaching. He's got experience. He's done a good job with, I think, a team that I don't say is filled with a bunch of talents, good talent. Mm-hmm. So I feel like they have overachieved more than they've underachieved. And just looks like he's one of the good ones. It just looks like he gets it. He's had success. He's handled some tough situations with losing a star in Paul
That's
George.
It. Yeah. Doesn't have a dominant, overbearing personality.
No.
But players seem to really like him.
Yeah. I would agree.
But
and
what's his style? Do we know?
He's a defensive coach.
Yeah.
He's very much more a defensive-minded coach, than he is.
Okay. And
Larry Bird's complaint now, right? I want more offense.
Yeah.
Because that's always what you want.
And while you like that, right, Jason? Mm-hmm. But given what the organization has been talking about and looking for, that doesn't appear to be what the organization is looking for.
Do we know what the organization is looking for?
It would appear to me that part of the reason why George Karl was hired was because of the offensive spark that he could provide, and he did provide that. And once again, they were also looking for an up-tempo, exciting, high-scoring product to be in this brand-new arena. So do you think that they'll go back on that and then pick a defensive-minded coach when you just fired a defensive-minded coach 3 years ago?
It's a great question. The only reason I like it, too, if it were something that came to fruition and if it could be a combo and you get Nate McMillan, too.
That would be wonderful.
If Vogel leaves, if McMillan doesn't get the job there, then can you bring Bo? I mean, I like that. I don't know if it's possible.
And that might be an ideal scenario when you talk about this entire coaching situation. We got your 10K a day code word right now. This hour's code word is dollar. Text dollar to 80787 or enter online at khdk.com by the end of the hour. Message and data rates may apply. We'll text you back to confirm your entry. And one randomly selected nationwide entrant will win $1,000. All entries will also automatically qualify for a $25,000 grand prize. You will have another opportunity to win in 1 hour at 3:20 with Grand Aper. So make sure you stick around for that. Question from Tex Nation. Bill, we'll get to you in just a second. I see you on the phone lines. Don't you think Vlade knows who he wants and he's just doing his due diligence? Does anyone here believe Vlade Divac knows exactly who he wants to be the head coach of the Sacramento Kings?
I don't at this point.
I do not believe that he has a particular coach in mind. I think he may have a style that he's looking for, but I don't believe that he has an individual.
I wonder if there's a guy like Frank Vogel or a combination of guys like Frank Vogel and Nate McMillan together who could shut this whole thing down today.
Yeah. Like the example would be Luke Walton, right? The Lakers wanted Luke Walton.
Right.
They talked about other people. Luke's available. He's interested. Boom. We're done. Got it. We're
Kenny
finished.
Atkinson.
Yeah.
Same situation in Brooklyn.
You can agree or disagree, but they had an idea. They got him.
Who gets a head coach first? Sacramento or New York?
I say New York.
Because we haven't heard a peep from there, right? Other than Luke Walton.
And that's why I feel Sacramento, but I don't feel good about that. That's a guess. That's a guess.
You say you think Sacramento will
just
get one
before New
York?
Just because I've heard the names, but it also is cloudy. That's 20 names long.
But I mean, you have to go through the interviews. You have to do background checks, credit checks. You have to go call ex-girlfriends. I mean, you got to do all this work. That's like 25 names. That's a lot of work.
It's a lot of calls.
Oh, yeah.
It's a lot of ex-girlfriends.
Yeah.
You want to get all the information, don't you?
Athletes do a lot of dumb things. We got a couple of them on this list that we'll run down for you next on The Lowdown. Headed down here to home stretch of The Lowdown. We thank you so much for tuning in. We got And One coming up here in just a little bit. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Bill, really sorry to keep you on hold so long. What do you got for us?
How about Hubie Brown?
Hubie Brown is a head coach.
Put him on the list. Hey.
Don't they bring him back to life for a few months for the playoffs every year?
In our league. Yeah.
Hubie is tremendous. I love Hubie.
A coach
Brown
has forgotten more basketball than that's anyone right in the league will ever know.
And you know what? That's someone on the text line asked about Doug Collins. And I'm always hesitant to give up the TV announcers that I really like.
You're yeah, right.
I really like.
I was like with Kerr too. I'm like, oh, he's really good.
Kerr's great.
Yeah, but
same with Doug Collins. Yes. I wish Doug Collins was out of the studio and back doing games, because I always say this about Lewis Reddick in football. Doug Collins was that guy who, when you listen to do a game, you learn something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I feel that way with Chris Webber too, in a much different way. Because Doug Collins will sometimes talk in a way where I'm left like, okay, I don't get it. Like, I don't really understand that deep of basketball. Yeah. Chris puts it so plainly. He was like, oh, yeah, I get it.
And if anyone's talking about how that call, they feel like that was the worst non-call, don't ask Doug Collins about that. He'll take you back to the 1972
exactly.
Olympics
yeah.
against the Soviet Union and how the team from USA got absolutely jobbed. And to this day, he refuses to show up for any Olympic anything.
Mm-hmm.
He will not show up. They tried to do a remake of that.
Right.
They tried to make it all good. He's like, nope, you ruined it for us. We're not coming back. He's super bitter about that. Mm. So he thinks that, and he might be right, is the absolute worst no call in the history of sports. Where they give him an extra.
How many
like,
times
three
did
seconds?
They replay
something
that?
Like,
yeah. extra
did
3 seconds?
Multiple.
Like 3 times?
Something crazy.
Before they finally scored and they were like, okay, it's over now.
Yeah.
That's it.
Mm.
I vaguely remember, I feel like Doug Collins called the Olympic Games in 2008. I can't remember who his partner was. I know Craig Sager was the sideline guy.
He called the
no,
actual
maybe,
Olympics.
No, maybe that's not it. Maybe that's wrong. I just remember someone doing something with the gold medal and Doug Collins, but it could have been later. It could have been when they got back, but it was tied in to that whole thing right there. A name you may not know, Keith Appling. He used to play for Michigan State University. Had a little cup of coffee with the Orlando Magic. He was arrested on Sunday at a strip club for bringing an AK-47 inside.
And what's the problem?
Well, that's not legal. You're not allowed to bring AK. You're not allowed to have assault rifles. Two, you're not allowed to bring them into the strip clubs.
It wasn't a BYO AK-47?
No, wait. Wasn't that type of party. That's on Saturday night.
Yes. Oh, yes, with the buffet.
Strip club, the buffets, because who doesn't want to grab a little bite to eat at a strip club?
Because you know the food's classic. It's quality.
Yeah.
Totally. You know it is.
5-star.
Yes.
I read that article and started thinking, how like, all of the stupid things athletes try to get away with. And obviously when you talk about a gun and going into a place, Plexico Burress.
That's an all-timer.
He's in that top four Mount Rushmore area of athletes doing dumb things.
Yeah. That's, you know, the great thing about sports, why we all like it, is you see some amazing things, but then you can't go a week without a story like this.
Well, the draft.
Right.
And listen,
multiple people, but certainly.
Listen, what happened with Laramie Ramsey, the way that it got out was wrong. He was hacked and it was.
Oh, Tunsil.
Sorry, Laramie Tunsil.
No, it's okay.
But still, dude, you videotaped yourself, or you allowed somebody to videotape you.
You are aware.
And then you took the mask off and looked
right into it.
Like, hey, player.
just
in case you didn't know.
It's me.
It's me. Look for me in the NFL draft.
Unbelievable. Can you think? I mean, I know Michael Phelps got caught.
Yeah.
He got caught on camera. He was at like a weed party or something like that. The most decorated Olympian in history wasn't smart enough to think, you know, it's a bad idea.
To me, it's usually like the combo, the double play where it's they did something dumb and then the lie, you go, wait, what? What happened? And what I'm thinking of most recently, and anytime I can take a shot at someone from USC, I will. But remember the kid that was, like, allegedly saving his drowning nephew,
and he jumped off a balcony.
I broke my leg, and he was something like a cheating affair. I mean, there were so many different layers to it. You're like, wow, this guy's heroic. No, he's actually not.
No, he's actually a dirtbag who was sleeping with a married woman and was trying to get out of the house when the husband came home.
Or let's go back to just a simple little lie that's not even necessary. Jeff Kent.
Yeah.
Did he break his wrist?
On the motorcycle or something?
But he said he was washing his truck.
Yeah.
and he slipped on the back and fell and tried to support himself and breaks his wrist or his thumb. Then you find out he's out riding a motorbike.
Yeah.
And you're not supposed to be doing that.
Anytime there's a slip and a fall at home, I never believe it.
Right.
Yeah.
I never, ever believe it. It was like, no, you didn't slip and fall at home.
Right.
The Oakland Raiders, they're tied in. Now, I'm not gonna lump him in this category just yet, but apparently he suffered some sort of knee injury in an ATV accident.
Yeah, Clive Walford.
Yeah, it appears to be okay, I guess. But I've read many team contracts, and many of them exclude things like this.
Yeah.
ATVs, motorcycles.
Mm-hmm.
Water skiing, snow skiing, things like that.
Pretty much you can't do much of anything.
You really can't do much of anything except play your sport.
Yeah.
Somebody violated that recently. Was it Monte Ellis, right? He had just signed the contract with the Golden State Warriors. It said in there explicitly you're not supposed to be riding motorcycles.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He rode a motorcycle in the offseason, and I think he broke his leg.
Hmm. Well, it's got to be the most famous one, right? Jay Williams.
Yeah.
At a Duke. Like, his whole career ended because of that.
Yeah. Ben Roethlisberger could have.
And that's the other one I was thinking about was motorcycle accidents.
Because did he have a helmet on?
I don't think he did.
Yeah. He went, like, he was ejected from the bike, Just crazy.
Transcript from Keith Appling's Laugh Dance. Is that an AK in your pants, or are you happy to see me? That's so terrible. Here's dumb, but it's just a whole different type of dumb. Josh Raven, Los Angeles Dodgers pitcher, suspended 80 games after testing positive for performance-enhancing drugs. Mm. Any baseball player in 2016 that tests positive for PEDs falls into the dumb athlete category.
Yep.
How do you get caught? How do you even put yourself in a position to get caught if you're a Major League Baseball player now?
Yeah, that is, like, come on. Like, come on, player. I mean, I guess the only thing dumber than that was Manny Ramirez.
Hmm.
Do you remember what he was busted for?
Yeah.
It was like an estrogen-type fertility drug steroid that he was taking.
Right.
And, like, wait a minute, what?
It was to combat all the testosterone that he was taking.
Exactly.
Like, no one's going to be able to put two and two together. Like, you're going to fool the whole system.
You're going up a bra size, and we're not going to notice that. Like, wait a minute, what's going on up here, brother? Yeah.
Like, you go to dive for the ball, and you got cleavage coming out of your jersey. We're not going to notice. Come on, son. But that's the type of stuff you'd expect from Manny Ramirez, right?
Just Manny being Manny.
Yes, exactly.
And then I love it's always the tainted supplement. Well, I took something and, you know, had a banned substance. I had no idea.
Well, yes. Had I known this was frowned upon, well, I never would have. Yeah, right.
I felt badly for the guy, Memphis, Nick Calathes, you know, reserve, like third guard. And he got pinched for something, but it was something they traced it like hair loss.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, he was balding and he took.
Yeah.
But it was on the banned list. And you're like, oh, well, his pride was hurt. He's taking something for hair loss. And it's like, well,
leave the guy alone.
I love that you just worked pinched into the show. Absolutely makes me happy. We got N1 three stories you may not.
I got pinched by the guy. Don't you squeal on us there.
Three stories you may not be paying attention to, but you should, coming up next. Final segment here on the show. We thank you so much for tuning in. Well, it's been fun to try to dissect what happened last night in the Oklahoma City-San Antonio Spurs game, and I emphasize try to dissect.
No, we got to the bottom of that.
Yeah.
No, we got
to the bottom. Oh, yeah, we
nailed it. We'll send our email out to Commissioner Silver. He'll take care of that.
Yeah, we totally nailed it. You could join Sports 1140 for the Susan G. Komen Sacramento 20th Annual Race for the Cure this Saturday, May 7th at Cal Expo. Help us move one step closer to a world without breast cancer. Register now at KomenSacramento.org. Three stories you may not be paying attention to, but you should. Gentlemen, I'll lead us off. This is an interesting one. Bryce Harper, as Ken Rudolph likes to point out over the last couple of days, is going through a vicious slump right now. His pocketbook, however, is not.
Oh.
He just signed a multi-year extension, believed to be around 10 years. Undisclosed amount of money, believed to be the biggest endorsement deal a baseball player has ever signed to remain with Under Armour. Now, Under Armour has Steph Curry locked up till 2024, Jordan Spieth locked up through 2025, and Bryce Harper locked up through 2026. What's interesting about this is Steph Curry has completely changed Under Armour. Their stock has skyrocketed. Their shoe sales have exploded since last year.
Wow. Now you tell me.
I know.
I could have bought stock.
I jumped on that.
But would that work on you before? I know you've always liked Jordan shoes, but I don't know if it's an age thing. Like now are you at the point where you're like, I got to buy Under Armour?
Nope.
No?
That was the question I was going to pose to you. Do endorsements still matter?
Only to the athlete.
Right. That's the true benefit.
Does it work? Something obviously works because people are buying Steph Curry shoes. And some of them are pretty dope, but I'm a Nike guy. I don't wear anything but Nike / Jordan. It's just been ingrained in me for a decade now, so that's what I wear.
But how did you get there? From Jordan? From watching the commercials? Or was that – or just him? Or
business relationship.
Okay.
I had a relationship with Nike, so that's how.
Go. Yeah.
Makes sense.
So, but – arguably, three of the biggest stars.
Yeah, absolutely.
Signed
and locked up
Under Armour.
But now, full disclosure, I'm older than you guys, but you guys probably still remember when you were younger, when you had the shoe deal, a poster came with it. Mm-hmm. So when George Gervin had the deal, it came with him on the Iceman
throne. My goodness, how old are you?
I'm like Methuselah. And and then
who the hell is Methuselah?
He's like the oldest individual in the history of the world.
Ken's twin.
And I think even when Magic Johnson first came out with Converse, there was like a poster. Mm-hmm. I remember having that poster, man. It's like that. It went hand in hand. Mm-hmm. You don't have that now.
Right.
So, no, you just have a pocketbook that's $200.
Right.
Lighter.
Yeah, do they still make posters?
I don't know.
Some of the retro Jordans, you get a nice little card in it.
Okay.
Thank you for spending $220 on my shoe.
Good luck on eBay.
Here's your $1 card.
Right. Ken Rudolph, what do you got for us?
Oh, I've got your inspiration, all right? Nice. I encourage everyone to go out there on YouTube or just punch it into Google. I want you to type in this name, Ida Keeling. I'm going to spell it for you. I-D-A. Last name is Keeling. K-E-E-L-I-N-G. This is a 100-year-old woman who just set a record in the 100 meter for her age group. It took her 1 minute, 17 seconds. All right? But here's the reason why it's awesome. She does that, and then when she gets done, she does 3 push-ups.
Yeah.
Wait, though. 3 military push-ups. Wait, though. 3 military men's push-ups, no knees on the ground, perfect form. She knocks them out.
Good for her.
And I'm like, yes.
Speaking
that's what
of
we're
endorsements,
talking about. Can we
get this woman an endorsement?
Gatorade or somebody needs to jump all over that.
With the tagline at the end that says, "What's your excuse?"
Man, you just made us $1 billion.
Right there.
We're golden. But are you watching it now? Basically?
I am, and I'm looking reading awesome? More about her. Let's see. She turns 101 in...
About a week?
12 days, yeah.
101.
Her.
And she looks fantastic.
She does.
And she's knocking it out. You see the push-up shot?
Uh-huh.
She's knocking it out.
That's legit.
Yeah.
100% legit.
Look it up. That's your inspiration. Ida Keeling.
Oh, my gosh.
Going on 101 and still making it happen. Works out for an hour every day. And as Dame just said perfectly, what's your excuse?
Yeah, exactly.
Jay Ross, what do you got for us?
Well, I'm going to finish with some Tiger Woods. He's a guy who was once the king of endorsements, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And still, when there was a time when he was struggling, people still said, he's still the most feared golfer. He's the guy we have to watch out for. Apparently, that amongst the golfing community on the PGA Tour is changing. There was a recent poll that just came out. It said 40% of the guys on the tour believe he will win another tournament. 40. So it's way down from what – that's just winning another tournament. 31% say they don't know. 28% think he will never win another tournament. So there was a time where, whether it was out of respect or just his overall talent, this is the guy to look out for. I think we've gone past that, but now his peers are going, I don't know. I don't know that we'll ever see it again, one tournament.
I didn't think a couple of years ago that he was ever going to win a tournament again. Mm-hmm. And then he started winning tournaments kind of regularly.
Just non-majors. Yeah.
They weren't the ones that anyone cared about. They would be right before, and they'd be like, okay, here we go. You'd get super excited, then he wouldn't make the cut.
Yeah.
Or he would be so far back on Sunday that you didn't even need to watch.
Now, Jason, I don't understand golf that well, but I don't see what could be stopping him from winning another major. He's gonna get stronger. He's only 40.
Yeah.
And he's got nerves of steel.
Will his back ever recover? Because it's starting to feel like it won't.
Yeah, and he's constantly getting hurt. I don't know, the major, I know for the Masters, the oldest person ever to win a Masters was Jack at 46.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a short window, and I don't know if that's the oldest major winner. There's probably someone older, but...
And that was 86,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, so then you're looking at a shorter window, and...
But then also, let's look, with all due respect to Jack and Tiger, let's look at the physical specimen.
Absolutely.
Okay, Jack
They're
was...
different body types.
He's a regular old golfer, body... Yeah. Tiger's in shape.
Yeah.
He's a machine. If he can get his back squared away, it seems like he would have a bit more longevity.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I fall into the category. I don't think he'll win another major.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know at this point if he'll ever win a tournament again. I'm not even sure if he's going to golf again.
Yeah.
I say we let him go back to his old lifestyle because he was winning then.
So yes,
let
he
him
was.
Go hang out.
Oh, wow.
He's not married anymore. Go hang out at the Applebee's if that's what you want to do before the thing, brother. Get your mind right.
The Applebee's?
I'm just saying, that's what he did.
Okay.
All of
them. All right. Hey, you want to call right now, 339-1140. We got some tickets to Amador Fort Fires Festival at the Amador County Fairgrounds this Saturday at 7 p.m. Immerse yourself in the finest foods and wines in Amador County. Get your tickets now at AmadorForFires.com. Or just call.
Yeah.
339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. No show tomorrow. We got A's baseball.
That's right.
Sharks playoff hockey tonight, if time permits, followed by A's baseball.
And hold on. Hey, gentlemen, happy one-month anniversary.
Is it?
Oh,
yes.
Hey. Where are my flowers?
Yeah.
Because I got yours.
They're in the lobby.
Yep, that's where yours are, right next to you. We'll just leave them up there. We'll just leave them up here. Grant Napier's name has been added to the Sacramento Kings head coaching search.
About time.
He's going to take a few minutes away to do his radio show. He's up next. Thank you for tuning in.